Let's give him praise, shall we? He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He's worthy of so much more than I could ever give Him. But He's such a good God because all He asks is what I can give Him. He never asks more than we can give. Hallelujah. I feel His presence in this place. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter number 33. While you're turning there, let me say that it's our privilege to be here tonight with our good friends, the Shirty family. We respect the work that this church represents, what you stand for, the progress that you're making in the kingdom of God, your building program. We rejoice with you because it's an indication of what God is doing in this late and last hour. Hallelujah. There was an epitaph on a pastor's tombstone, and this is what it said. Go tell the church that I'm dead, but they need shed no tears. For though I'm dead, I'm no more dead than they have been for years. I'm thankful tonight that I'm in a church and I'm amongst a group of people that's not dead. Hallelujah. We're not serving a dead God, so there's no reason for us to be dead. Amen? But our God is alive, so therefore we, the people of God, should be alive. Amen? Praise God. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Thank you, Brother Troy Shirty, for the invitation. My good friend, I love you. I love your family. Great people. Get behind the leaders of this church, and you'll go a long way. They have your relationship with Jesus Christ at heart. I can assure you of that. Let's go to the Word of the Lord, Exodus chapter number 33. Very familiar scripture reading and a very familiar setting that we want to take a text from tonight. Verse number 11, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, now notice this conversation. Moses said, Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people. And thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Everybody say, with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, or this is what God said in verse 14, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Now notice carefully verse 15. And he said unto him, or Moses said unto God, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. This conversation on this particular day, as a man speaketh to a friend. God tells Moses, Moses, I'm going to go with you. But Moses doesn't stop there. He looks back and speaks back to his friend. And he said, if you're not going, I don't want to go. Moses said, I want to make a statement right now. If he's not coming, I'm not going. And I want to preach to you for a little while tonight from this subject. If he's not coming, I'm not going. Turn and look at your neighbor and say, if he's not coming, I'm not going. My mind's made up. You can't change my mind. If he's not coming, I'm not going. Hallelujah. Lord bless you, and you may be seated tonight. Pearl Carlson was suddenly awakened at 3:30 in the morning in her Washington home by the urgent tugging of the family dog who was trying to pull her from her bed. Finally aroused, she smelled smoke. She heard the eerie crackle of flames that were now engulfing her home. The dog that was making horribly hoarse sounds made its way through the thick smoke and the flickering flames until all four occupants of the Carlson home was safely outside, that home that's now destroyed. And as daylight dawns the next morning, the Carlsons noticed that the dog's paws were badly burned and its entire body was scorched and singed. Its collar had gotten so hot that it had burned its throat, thereby explaining the hoarse sounds that the dog was making in the night to try to wake them up. But only after the dog refused food the next morning did they really realize the true heroics of the actions of this family pet. Because when the dog refused food, they found a mouthful of splinters in this dog's mouth. You see, this is a true story that I read several years ago. This was not an inside pet. This was a dog that slept outside. And it had literally gnawed and chewed its way through a plywood door to get to where its master was. In the animal kingdom tonight, if it can give us an example of a relationship of a dog that's so fiercely loyal and faithfully attached to the presence of its master in the face of adversity, seemingly insurmountable obstacles, distress, and unfavorable circumstances, if we can go to the animal kingdom tonight and find a relationship that is so precious and so powerful, I want to take you to the Word of God tonight and show you another relationship that can be found not between man and beast, but I want to show you tonight a relationship that can be found between a man and his God. Oh, yes. Moses made a statement of significance. It's a defining moment. Chapter 33 in the book of Exodus. The children of Israel are poised to possess the promise. And in this congregation, Brother Shirdy, of 3 million people. What a church. What a church. 3 million people. Read chapter 33. Verse 1, it spoke of the milk, the land of milk and honey. God said, you're going to a place, you're going to eat of a vineyard that you didn't plant. You're going to drink of wells that you did not dig. You're going to live in houses that you did not build. Verse number 2, the Lord told Moses, I'll send an angel before thee. How would you like to have a promise tonight of angels encamping all around about you? That's what Moses was told. Verse 7 speaks of the tabernacle. Verse number 10, the Bible says all of the people rose and worshiped. How powerful our praise is tonight when this group of saints get together and praise God. But can you imagine Moses standing in the midst of 3 million people? And the Bible said they all stood and worship and praise Jehovah God. Moses has all of this to look around him and find the people He's got a place. He's got everything that you would think that a man could want to be satisfied with. He's got the protection of the angel. He's got the praise of the people. He's going to a land that flows with milk and honey. But Moses said, wait a minute, God. Moses said, wait a minute, God. I look around me and I enjoy the fellowship of people of like precious faith. Moses said, God, when I look around me, I enjoy everything that you have given me. Moses said, God, when I look ahead, I'm thankful for where I'm going. And God said, I want to add something to it, Moses. I'm going to go with you. And Moses said, at this defining moment, when the children of Israel are poised to possess the promise, Moses looked back at God and he said, God, I want to make a statement now. I like everything that you've given me. But I want to tell you something, God. I'm not taking another step unless I know that you are going with me. If you're not coming, God, I'm not going. Your presence means more than anything else in this world to me. Thank God for people of like precious faith that we can assemble together with. Thank God for a beautiful building that we can assemble in. But I want to tell you something, church. It all becomes just a Christian country club except for the presence of God Almighty. I don't want just a building. I don't want just singing. We can have that anywhere. But give me the presence. Give me His presence. Hallelujah. Moses said, wait a minute, God. This conversation is not over with yet. This conversation is not going to end here. Moses said, I know where I'm going. Moses said, I know what I've got. But then Moses didn't stop there. He said, I know what I need. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something tonight. The realization and the recognition of a powerful proportion in this sanctuary tonight is this, that you don't have to leave here without the presence of God Almighty. I can see Moses standing there, and he may have one leg lifted, but he looks to heaven and he says, I'm not going to put this foot down, God, until you assure me that you're going to go with me. My next step, my next day, my next week, my next month, and my next year, Moses said, I got to know, God, that you're here with me. Maybe that's what the psalmist David meant when he said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And everybody says, you should be afraid. Everybody says, there should be fear in your life. But the psalmist said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil for thou. The psalmist said, I know that you're here with me. And I don't care where I go as long as I know that He's with me. Hallelujah. We sing that old song. I'm sure you sing it here. I can't even walk. Can't even walk. It's real simple. I can't put one foot in front of the other without Him holding my hand. I've walked in the hospital rooms, walked down long, lonesome corridors of the hospital, eased the door open, and there that precious saint of God or that precious loved one is laying there with machines all around them, tubes running all in their body. And you know what we call? We say, Brother Pastor, come pray for Sister so-and-so or Brother so-and-so, because they are on life support. They're not doing it for themselves. There's a machine breathing for them. There's a machine keeping the blood flowing. And we say that they are on life support. I want to suggest to you here tonight in this sanctuary that every one of us inside this sanctuary tonight, we are all on life support. Let the man that think that he holds his own breath try to defy God and breathe on his own. But I want to tell you something tonight. I'm thankful tonight to know and to realize and to recognize that my help and my strength comes not from myself, but it comes from God. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. I want to tell you something. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to a donut shop makes you a donut. Something's got to happen when we get here. And it's not going to happen just because I'm here. It's not going to happen just because you're here. But if we can come into this sanctuary like Moses did and say, God, I'm not going to leave this building tonight until I know that your presence is with me. Hallelujah. The church is to be a hospital for the hurting. This is not a holy hotel for a bunch of spiritual fat cats to come and relax. This is a place that people realize their dependence upon God. I've seen people that think, you know, Abraham Lincoln once was told of a gentleman. Abraham Lincoln was told that this man said he was his own maker. Abraham Lincoln looked back and replied as only he could, that relieves God of all responsibility. I'm thankful tonight to know that I'm not my own maker. Let me tell you a little bit about Moses, how he got to this point. Moses and the people of Israel had to be fed. Now, I don't know. I've got a family of four now, and it's everything I can do to keep food on the table for four. But Moses was responsible for 3 million. Think about it. According to the quartermaster general of the Army of the United States, Moses would have to have 1,500 tons of food each day. To bring that amount of food each day would take 2 freight trains, each a mile long. Remember, they're out in the desert. They'd have to have firewood to cook the food. This would take 4,000 tons of food or wood and a few more freight trains, each a mile long for one day. But remember, they got to have water. And enough to drink and wash a few dishes, it'd take about 11 million gallons of water each day. And a freight train with tank cars 11.8 miles long just to bring them water. Then remember, they had to get across the Red Sea in one night. If they went on a narrow path, double file, the line would be 800 miles long and would take 35 days and nights to get through. So there had to be space enough in the Red Sea. It had to be 3 miles wide, and they had to walk 5,000 abreast to get over in one night. Every time they camped at the end of the day, the campground would be 2/3 the size of Rhode Island, or a total of 750 square miles. That comprises an area 25 miles wide and 35 miles long. This was just for nightly camping. KOA ain't got nothing on GOD. Because he said, you go, and I'll take care of you. You go, and I'll be there with you, Moses. Oh, I can't make it. Oh, yes, you can if he's with you. Oh, yes, you can if he's with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. I feel Him in this place. Brother Troy Shirley, I felt it when I walked in the doors this afternoon. I felt Him. I felt Him by my side. Well, preacher, just who are you talking about tonight? Let me tell you a little bit about my God tonight. God, you can't confuse Him, and He doesn't need help. He stands alone, unparalleled, and unprecedented. He's enduringly strong, eternally steadfast, and immortally great. He's a sinner's Savior and a saint's security. He's miraculous, magnificent, majestic, marvelous, captivating, alluring, fascinating, and dynamic. I'm talking about my God that is in this sanctuary tonight. Literature can't describe Him. Philosophy can't define Him. The world couldn't defile Him. And criticism can't deny Him. He's indescribable because He's incomparable. The Sadducees couldn't control Him. The Pharisees couldn't confuse Him. His own people couldn't recognize Him. Pilate and the cross couldn't stop Him. And death and the grave couldn't hold Him. He said, you can't hold me, grave, because one night at Living Way, they're going to have a youth service, and there's going to be some people that demand my presence. All right. There's no one before, and there's going to be no one after. There's no predecessors or successors. I want to tell you what. Let me do an honest confession right now in the middle of this wonderful power-packed service. I have difficulty at home getting clothes to hang on a clothes hanger. You have problems with that? Some of you be honest right now. I have difficulty getting clothes to hang on a clothes hanger. But you know what Job said about my God? He said, He hangeth the earth on nothing. It was just His word that said, let there be. And He can hang the world on nothing. He calls heaven home and uses the earth as a place to prop His feet. I'm talking about my God. You don't need me to figure out how great God is, though. When you get home this afternoon, look in the mirror. Look at your body. If your blood vessels were laid end to end, it would reach 60,000 miles. There are more than 2 million sweat glands in your body. One drop of blood contains 5 million red blood cells and 5,000 white blood cells. Physiologists say to make a body, it would take 58 pounds of oxygen, 50 quarts of water, 2 ounces of salt, 3 pounds of calcium, 24 pounds of carbon, some chlorine, some phosphorus, some fat. Some more than others. Iron and some nitrogen. Physiologists say we need all of that to make a body. My God said, give me some dust. And if you think that's something next time, He said, just give me a rib. He can make something out of nothing. I'm talking about my God. That's here tonight. He's here tonight. One day the phone rang in the secretary's office of the Washington Church, which then President Roosevelt attended. They said that there was an eager voice on the other end that inquired and asked this question, tell me, do you expect the president to be in church this Sunday? That, the secretary explained patiently, I cannot promise. But we expect God to be here, and we fancy that will be incentive enough for a reasonably large attendance. Hang on now. I want to tell you something, Brother Troy Shirley and these precious people of Living Way. We've reached the place in Pentecost that we've got to get beyond. We've got to get beyond superstars. This is not in my notes. This is a freebie. And I know people over here in Washita Parish, you're completely different than people in Franklin Parish. But I get so tired of us getting up and announcing special services. And you know the first thing out of people's mouth? Who's preaching? I know it. I'm just giving you examples of what happens down there in the cotton field. You know what I'm talking about. The first thing out of their mouth is, who's preaching? You see, we've reached the place. We've got to get like Moses. It doesn't matter who's preaching. It doesn't matter who's singing. It doesn't matter who's on the drum. It doesn't matter who's playing the guitar. We've got to get like Moses. Look around at everything and say, wait a minute, God, this is not enough. This is not enough. I want to know that your presence will go with me. It's not about some man. It's about a God. He can make the backslider move up, the sleepyhead wake up, the one that's paying no tithes or offerings pay up, the gossip to shut up, those that are sitting down to get up, the weak to pray up, the hypocrite to straighten up, those with no vision to look up, the sinner to give up, because he's getting ready for a church to go up. I'm talking about my God. You see, people that are just interested in church just because it's another social function. I've seen Sunday night Samson turn into Monday morning Mickey Mouses. Because they're just here. The wife said I had to come. The husband said I had to come. Mama said I had to come. Daddy said I had to come. The children said we had to come. But where is the man or woman, the boy or girl, that in 1999, quickly facing the year 2000, that'll stand boldly and proclaim proudly, I'm not here because of somebody, but I'm here. I'm here because of God Almighty. It's not something that I've done, but it's something and all about God and what He's done. Hallelujah. Woo, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. I've seen too much T-bone talk and baloney walk. I think God is looking over the portals of glory in this late and last hour, this closing dispensation. And He's saying, I want to find somebody. I want to find somebody that'll serve me for who I am. I want to find somebody that'll have a relationship with me that goes beyond circumstances, that goes beyond anything else. But they want to serve me just because they love me. Oh, God, I feel the Holy Ghost. On his mother's side, he was a son of man. On his father's side, he was a son of God. On his mother's side, he was a seed of David. On his father's side, he was a root of David. On his mother's side, he was a seed of Abram. On his father's side, he was before Abraham. On his mother's side, he was finite. On his father's side, he was infinite. On his mother's side, he was natural. On his father's side, he was supernatural. On his mother's side, he was physical. On his father's side, he was spiritual. On his mother's side, he was 6 foot tall. On his father's side, he was omnipresent. On his mother's side, he was 33 years old. On his father's side, he was Alpha and Omega. On his mother's side, he grew tired. On his father's side, he gives rest to the weary. On his mother's side, he was tempted. On his father's side, he maketh a way of escape. On his mother's side, he grew hungry. But on his father's side, he fed the 5,000. On his mother's side, he grew thirsty. On his father's side, he said, I'm the living water. On his mother's side, he prayed. On his father's side, he answered prayer. On his mother's side, he walked by the sea. On his father's side, he walked on the sea. On his mother's side, he died on a cross. But on his father's side, he rose from the dead. I'm talking about the God that is in this sanctuary right now. He's here. He's here. He's here. Look at your neighbor and say, if he's not coming, I'm not going. I'm not going to leave here tonight till I know he's taking a step with me. I love this song. That may be what we end with tonight. I love this song. No, no, no. What did he say? Nobody like Jesus. And then we have to talk. We have to sing like we talking to our kids sometimes. No, no, no. How many times do I have to tell you? No. There's nobody like Jesus. How many times is the choir going to have to sing it before it sinks into some of our minds? There's nobody. There's nobody. There's nobody like my God. There's nobody like the one that's walking by my side tonight. There's nobody. No, 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 no. Don't even think it. No. I read this story I found with great delight a couple of years ago. Rather humorous, but there was a lady that went to Beverly Hills to take these tours. I was there a few years ago. You can buy tickets. You can take cabs, limousines, buses. They take you through the hills of Beverly Hills, hoping to get a glimpse of a movie star. I read this story. It struck me. This lady went. She went all day long. She would peer through the gates. She would look over the hedges. They said she would try to climb the fence to get over and see a movie star. And they said she went all day long with no success. All failure. No movie star. At the end of the day, true story, they said she walked into a thrifty drugstore in Beverly Hills. She decided she wanted an ice cream cone. As she was standing there in line for her ice cream cone, the door opened behind her, and as she casually glanced over her shoulder, Mr. Paul Newman walked in and got in line behind her. Now, you don't know who Paul Newman is. But he's a movie star, someone said. But she's been looking for a movie star all day and hasn't seen the first one. And Mr. Paul Newman is standing by. She said it was all she could do to maintain her composure because she realized who was right there. She would try to glance in the mirror and couldn't see him. And she looked silly moving from side to side. So she decided a casual glance over her shoulder would do. And then she thought, what am I doing? I'm making a fool of myself. Finally, when she regained her composure and realized that it was her turn to order, she rattled off her order to the ice cream clerk, determined to maintain her composure upon receiving her ice cream cone. She paid, turned confidently, and exited the store with a casual glance to Mr. Newman. Only to realize when she got out and sat down in her car, she didn't have her ice cream cone. Trying to maintain composure, she got out of her car, opened the door, went back into the ice cream store thinking I surely left it in that little round receptacle that they put it in. And by this time, it was Mr. Newman standing at the counter ordering. And she realized when she got to the counter that her ice cream cone wasn't in the receptacle. So she had a bewildered look on her face as she was standing there. And then she felt a polite tap on her shoulder. And she was looking into Mr. Newman's eyes. And he said these words, "Ma'am, if you are looking for your ice cream cone, you put it in your purse." What do you say? What do you do? You see, I'm telling you tonight a rather humorous example of people that get so excited because somebody, such as a Hollywood actor, would stand beside them. I'm here tonight to pose a question to you. If people can get so excited about a mere mortal standing beside them, if people can lose their composure over just a man standing beside them, if people can forget where they are, who they are, and what they're doing with just a man standing beside them, what should the church of the living God that I've been telling you about, what should the church of the living God act like when we realize? He's here. He's here. He's here. He's here. I forget where I am. I forget who I am when I realize that He's here. Bible said, and I'm hurrying to a close, but the Bible said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Come here, brother. Help me out. The Bible said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now imagine with me just for a moment that this is the Spirit of the Lord. I didn't say anything. They giggled, brother, not me. Stretch your imagination, if you will, and imagine this is the Spirit of the Lord. This is a great guy. I love him. But the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You know what that means? In the Greek, it means there's no liability and no responsibility. You know what that means? You're not liable to the person sitting beside of you, and you're not responsible to the person sitting beside you. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord is here. I've seen people that would come into a red-hot Pentecostal service and say, "Why are you acting like you're acting?" Because the Spirit of the Lord is here. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, I'm not responsible and I'm not liable for the way I act, for the way I respond when I realize that the God of all creation is by my side. Hallelujah. I'd rather walk with God than ride in a limousine without Him. I'm not talking about Christianettes that come to hear sermonettes and go to dinette and smoke a cigarette. I'm talking about coming into a sanctuary where there's a presence that can change anything and everything. The Bible said, with God, all things are possible. You know what that means? We can try a lot of things on our own, leaning on the arms of the flesh, and it won't work. But with God, all things are possible. Get ready to sing. I want us to sing. Is that okay if we sing that song again? Just no, no, no. I just want everybody to know there's nobody like my God. There's nobody like Him. There's nobody like Him. He's the Advocate, the Almighty, the Alpha and Omega, the Author, the Finisher, the Bread of Life, the Chief Shepherd, the Counselor, the Creator, the Deliverer, the Door, the Everlasting Father, the Good Shepherd, the Great High Priest, the Head of the Church, the Holy One, Emmanuel, Jehovah, Jesus, the Judge, the King of Kings, the Lamb, the Life, the Light, the Lion, the Messenger, the Mediator, the Messiah, the Mighty God, the Mighty One, the Morning Star, the Prince of Peace, the Redeemer, the Resurrection, the Rock, the Rose of Sharon, the Savior, and the Shepherd. But more than all of that is He is my friend that sticks closer than a brother. No, nobody like my God. Nobody like my God. Nobody's like my God. I'm not looking for a sports star, a movie star, but I'm looking for the Bright and the Morning Star. I'm closing. Let's all stand together tonight. Woo! I feel the Holy. I dare you to reach out because I promise you He's right there. Like Scotch tape, you can't see Him, but you know He's there. Like Pan Am, He makes the going great. Like General Electric, He'll light your path. Like VO5 hairspray, He holds in all kinds of weather. Chevy, He's a rock. Ford, He has a better idea. Coke, He is the real thing. Toyota, oh, what a feeling. Alka-Seltzer, try Him, you'll like Him. Bayer Aspirin, He takes the pain away. Hallmark Cards, He cared enough to send the very best. Tide, He gets the stains that others leave behind. American Express, don't leave home without it. I'm going to go way back. Some of these young people may not even know what I'm talking about, but some of you will. This is my favorite one, Brother Troy. We're going to go way back. Because Tony the Tiger and Frosted Flakes used to have a saying that I really like. Some of you have already said it. But old Tony the Tiger would just rear back and he would say it like this. He's... No, he didn't say he's great. And some of you don't remember it right. Tony the Tiger said, he's great. He's not just great, he's great. He's my God, and He's greatly to be praised, because there's nobody, nobody, nobody like my God. Woo, I feel him. Is he just up here? Has he made it out there yet? And I started not to do it, but I can't help these wonderful people that are doing our sign language tonight. I couldn't help but notice a while ago, because this kept coming back, you're going to use that in your message tonight. What was no? Was it something like this? No. No. I was over there and I was just wanting to go. How many times, devil, are we going to have to tell you there's nobody, just nobody, nobody like my God? Sing it, brother. Sing it. If He's not coming, I'm not going.
A better friend.
Nobody like you.
Oh, praise the Lord. This message was for somebody here tonight. Now, it was for all of us, but it was for somebody in this place who's been going through something. But the Lord come here to tell you that He is with you. Oh, hallelujah. He is our refuge. He is our strength. He is our hope. He is our strong tower. I tell you what got me going right off the bat. The scripture he ended with in Exodus 33, the next one is where the bishop started last Sunday night. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. If you're going to go to the glory, God's going to have to be with you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Somebody just needs to have at it right now. This is your night, been your message. You don't need to leave here quiet. Just have a fit right now. The Lord's come here to confirm His Word to you. Just say no. Devil, hear me tonight. No. Nobody like Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. I come here needing this Word tonight, friend. I'm sorry, but I'm just human sometimes. I'm like Jesus. I got my mother's side and I got my father's side. Sometimes I just get human. Oh, my, my. Hallelujah. God bless you. If you need the Holy Ghost, you should have already had it tonight. You've been here all night. If you ain't got it, lift your hands up right now and receive it. In Jesus' name. You got to receive it. He'll give it if you'll receive it. You know why? Because He's here. He's right next to you. Just tell Him what you want. You don't even have to call Him up. He's right beside you. Let's worship the Lord right now. Let's do it. Everybody. Lift up your hands. Lift up your voice.